So anyway, it was suggested that for the at-home version of Human Centipede, you need to use super glue. So I think
that came out of left field.
No, I was just thinking about eating shit, and
as you do.
How is that not in left field?
That was recorded, right?
Yes.
No, we were talking about, anyway, Mickey and I were talking about it just a second ago, weren't we? I thought we were. Anyway, if we were. Nope,
we're on your own with that one.
No. So I'm thinking, like, you could have an at-home version of Human Centipede. And did I not mention this last week? I swear I mentioned it last week.
I think I would remember that.
Now, awesome. is this card-based or is it bordered?
Okay, so here's how you play. Basically, you play with a bottle of super glue and numbered pieces of paper. And so you have numbers for the number of people that you're playing with, and you draw for slots, and then you just use the super glue to attach, and then you have a human centipede.
No, it's I got it better.
It's a lot of fun for the family.
Okay, the numbers tell who goes first. And you sit in a circle, and you spin the bottle of super glue to see who gets glued to your butt.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
If everyone just draws a number, that's not going to take very long.
It'd be a very short game.
Yeah. Well, you know, then you get to crawl around and do fun centipede stuff.
Apparently strong
vaginas.
Apparently the charged up stronger and tackle are going to be going up tonight.
Ooh. You just hope your Uncle Ted doesn't, like, get first spot, you know. A lot of beans. Hold on.
See, JD, here's where you should hope that you really get first spot, because getting that glue in your beard.
Totally. Totally, man. You're just hoping you don't have to chew very much. You can just swallow. Just keep swallowing.
Take random amounts of Metamucil.
Oh.
Wow.
Standing by. This is Superhero Time with XV.
Yep, you can be those.
Hey, Mickey.
Love me, Daddy. Love me.
Paladin. Ken.
I'm no mere pervert.
JD Church.
And then everybody vomited at the end.
And Fort Max.
The surprise was vampires.
Ken's loving this.
Show.
It's superhero time.
It's like, show, please. No. Not.
The most popular podcast about the Human Centipede home game.
Oh, wow.
Well, I can't do anything to top that, so this is superhero time.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Okay, really. Now, to be fair, JD's kind of had a rough day today and a little yesterday. And
yeah, I'm not mentally stable right now.
You know, JD needs to express himself in bowel movements in order to work through some of the stuff that's going on in Oklahoma right now.
So that's how he reacts every day.
I need to push through some of the,
push through
the hard parts that I'm dealing with right now.
Basically, we're treating the stone. This week on the podcast, we're kind of treating it as emotional Metamucil.
You should express yourself through art. Have you heard of Jackson Pollock?
I'm thinking... I'm thinking Jackson Pollock meets Fiber One.
Now there's an intro.
Fiber One, a Kamen Rider in the 80s.
Fiber One.
Fiber One.
Oh, I'm gonna eat 300 Fiber One bars.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
I've got this 5x10 mural.
Now, is that 5x10 feet or yards?
Feet. I have also occasionally drank entire bottles of randomly colored food color. Any minute now, this will be a work of art.
Yeah, but you can only drink one bottle of food color at a time, or else it still just comes out brown.
Right. So that's what I mean. It's like every like hour or so.
Hour? Good lord.
Well, that's all the fiber one.
Right.
I guess. If you make it that long.
Totally.
Well, this seems like as good a time as any to talk about the Giga Beetle challenge for this week.
Woohoo! Did you go through with it?
I have the image. Yeah, it may not be exactly what you're expecting, though. Oh. So this week, we get to see Giga Beetle put his sausage into a donut hole.
Sausage donutage. I should have listened to what Hey Mickey said. Well.
Oh my god! What?
Say gloved hands. I believe this is the closest we've ever seen to actually seeing Giga Beetle.
Any flesh?
Those are just gloved hands.
He's still covered. He's in rubber gloves. What the?
Love the box knife. That's the.
That is not a good looking sausage.
That sausage is what the f***ing hell?
Ew. That was not supposed to look like that.
It's supposed to look
awesome. What in the f***? He do to that donut?
Electric Six lyrics. Go Gigabeat.
I believe that constitutes as a crime in some states.
Oh my god.
What, he just gave the donut a little circumcision. What's the big deal?
Just snip it. Wow. That is epic.
It's been done.
Apparently,
it looks like someone's f***ed it.
Apparently, he missed the part about the gravy.
Yeah.
And how it wasn't supposed to be like an actual piece of sausage.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's just a piece of sausage.
Maybe they don't have sausage gravy in Sweden.
Do they have gravy in Sweden?
You can cook sausages. That'll give you your gravy.
I mean, they should, right?
Hey, Mickey.
Well, you know, you wouldn't be saying f*** you if you did it right.
I don't know. He might.
He's uncomfortable now that he's out of his comfort zone.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that where beef stroganoff comes from? Or is that like Danish or Dutch or something? I don't know.
Stroking off.
He's right, though.
So what is V3 implying in that last pick?
Putting the donut in the...
Oh.
Anal sex.
Yeah.
Well,
it's always... The answer is always anal sex.
No, I think it's something about Forze crossing over with O's.
Please tell me you saved that line, because that's
just...
Okay. Man.
Never use it.
I don't use half the stuff he says.
I mean, how could you?
He doesn't have the space to use half the stuff he says.
Yeah.
Maybe the clip show this year will just be all JD quotes.
You at least need to do like the first 10 minutes.
You know, I'll just open my audio editor and have it paste all of the JD quote folder sequentially and just
see how
that
comes out.
That should be good for, you know, 60-70 minutes.
I try, you know. I really try.
See, JD needs
That's
to write
what scares
this.
Us.
JD needs to write some of this stuff down himself and publish it as the quotable JD.
Well, if you've got audio,
maybe those little tiny square books you can keep in your pocket or on your desk.
If you've got the audio file, then you know I'll just take that, and that way I'll have it all. You know, I'll have like a
publish
copy
it as an audio book,
and then yeah, I can publish an audio version.
Get edited into the other show and give people a reason to listen to Fanboy Versus?
Maybe. Doubt it, because I don't say that stuff on that show, but whatever. Maybe I should.
Maybe someone would listen to it then.
I know. If it was actually entertaining,
well,
maybe.
I mean, look
either
at how...
Either that or you'd scare away your coach.
Totally. I know, right?
Although, anytime you've not been on, they end up getting quite... dirty on their own, so...
Do they really? I haven't listened when I'm not there.
Occasionally, yeah. It's been like, wow.
Well, it's not hard with Nicole there. I mean, God. She's the most perverted introvert I know. It's just... It's amazing. Like, she's so
And McFeely is Irish.
Well, yeah, they're that.
But he can be prudish, too. But, I mean, you know, it's just like... I don't understand with Nicole. I'm just like, you know what you just said. I mean, how...
Oh,
yeah. And then she's like, you guys make me sound bad. No.
You make you sound bad.
You do that on your own.
Well, I mean, it's Fanboy Versus. Anybody who's on there is going to sound kind of bad just by association.
Pretty much. I mean, it's, you know.
At least with this show, the things we say, we're basically living up to our reputation that we've developed here.
Yes. Yeah. We have nowhere to go but up.
Can't go any further down.
We're being exactly what our audience expects of us.
Oh.
So yeah, that was the Giga Beetle challenge for this week.
Well, that's fantastic.
Maybe for the next one, we should do something that's a little bit more straightforward so he does it right.
Oh, well, I thought that was pretty straightforward, but...
Obviously not.
We should give him examples.
Well, Mickey, why didn't you show him sausage gravy?
Well, I don't know. I should have. I'll do it now.
Yeah. We have to remember that he's from another country and they don't have the same food.
He's Swedish, you know.
It's true. It's completely true.
So any ideas for his challenge next time?
No. Maybe we'll give him a week off.
Yeah.
It's Golden Week in Sweden.
Golden Week in Sweden.
Is that like Golden Showers Week?
I think you're thinking of the Netherlands.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That makes more sense. Okay, well, what do we have in the news this week?
Two things. F***ing all.
Nice.
Again? Didn't we just talk about that a few weeks ago?
And probably next week, too.
Well,
unless we really want to continue with the Super Mega Force rumors.
Oh, God, no.
No.
That's what I thought.
No.
The Kamen Rider
game. I was not invited to be on Super Mega Force.
I was, but they want to meet my fees.
Apparently, I was, but I'm not allowed back in New Zealand, and I can't really talk about it.
I am not allowed to confirm nor deny that I am not allowed back in New Zealand. I cannot confirm that it is possible that I have been barred from returning to the country.
And nothing of value.
Nor can I confirm any relations I may or may have not had with local livestock.
So now we are talking about what we say we're not going to talk about.
No, I think right now we're just making fun of New Zealand.
Okay. Go ahead. Just making sure.
Well, in the No One Really Cares file, Shout Factory has Ultra Q coming
Yay!
Out.
Yay!
Whatty who?
Exactly.
You guys.
Is it a thing I should care about?
No.
It is Ultraman before they had Ultraman.
Oh God!
So no,
it is like a so 1960s kaiju series.
Ooh, that sounds rough. So it's like crap Godzilla.
No, that's Gamera.
Oh.
I think they they probably did use the Godzilla suit in that series at one point.
Oh God.
I'm considering to sue. Subaru, I own the suit.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's just fantastic.
I'm so glad
that this thing exists.
Your excitement is palpable.
It's almost like the fart you can taste.
Something like that, yes.
So we're back to the Human Centipede home game then.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I got the super glue. It's a poor people's game.
Anyway.
Well, this week we did get the first teaser for Hurricanger 10 years after.
Oh, yeah. Good. That looks interesting.
Just kind of unique, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's a Hurricane Black now, so whatever.
Is that Hurricane Black?
Yes. Sort of.
That. Sort of. Let me rewatch this. But no, I do think it's an interesting thing. It's just we obviously don't have much attachment to it because Hurricanger has never been really
good.
Well, translated in full.
No, I'm gonna go with
why do you think that is?
Oh, we watched it. We know why.
No, the episode we watched wasn't fine.
No.
That seems encouraging.
Well, not like Ninja Storm is any better, really.
No. Although I'm sure, I mean...
Well, Ninja Storm had a better guinea pig.
Yeah, this is true. But, you know, in fairness, of course,
But their guinea pig didn't.
I'm afraid of any correlation or description between two series in which the statement is one show had a better guinea pig than the other.
For once, that's not an unfortunate euphemism.
And it's like Decaranger versus SPD, where Decaranger had a way inferior alien Dogman.
Yes, it did. Although, try and tell that to Decaranger fans.
I'd rather just not talk to Decaranger fans.
Well, this all sounds
great. What?
What?
So this all sounds great. I'm so excited about this now.
But, you know, maybe this will do well and we'll get a couple more 10th anniversary reunion deals for shows that we actually, you know, don't dislike intensely.
Can they just go ahead and do like a Gokaiger reunion show?
Isn't that what Superhero Wars Z is?
Probably, but...
Go on, Jer.
Yeah.
But that'll have to wait till, what, 2017?
Can they just go ahead and do that?
I don't think any of us would object.
Well, now what about Albaranger, Jer?
I can't really write off a show, though, just because of one lackluster episode.
Yeah, we can. I mean,
every show has their...
I can write off a show that I didn't watch this episode at all.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
I can do whatever I want, because I don't care.
That's easy for you to say.
But, oh, hey, speaking of live-action karate, there's this image.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God, Megan Fox, somebody shoot.
Oh, that means that's supposed to be a...
Ninja Turtle.
Turtle.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
It's certainly when Megan Fox is the best-looking thing in your film, you have royally f***ed up.
And it's good to see that, you know, they got Megan Fox, you know, playing Megan Fox instead of doing something silly like trying to be April O'Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how even this random shot has her with her mouth open.
Yeah.
Well, that's her natural state of being.
I was going to say, thank you, Ken. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, she's long since forgotten how to keep her mouth closed.
You were all over that joke for me, sir. I appreciate that.
Well, it's an easy joke to make.
Yeah.
It's always either something gross going in or something gross going out.
Like
Megan
sometimes,
Fox.
Sometimes it's within the same few moments.
Like her attempts to act, quotation marks.
How do you think she got the jobs?
Quotation marks?
I'm just waiting for her to give an interview on Entertainment Weekly or whatever. She says, yeah, here's a shot of me on the set with the motion cab actor, and here's me holding these really cool swords.
Oh, God. Oh. 90s children's heads explode. It's swords.
So, is there anything else we can talk about?
Yes, Japan is holding a recruitment drive for Shocker.
Shocker, like... the evil organization, or Shocker, like the Yow Shocker.
Isn't that
the evil organization? Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
So, if you want to fly to Japan in six days, you can dress up in one of those ridiculous skull costumes.
Fort Max.
I would do that just to see if they had one in my size. I'm like, here you go.
There. Like, we were not prepared for this.
Especially with the giant beard sticking out of the mask.
Totally. With gravy on it.
Well, no, you wouldn't have the gravy on it. You would just have a weird-looking sausage and part of a donut.
What is that? Gravy sausage donut.
A circumcised donut and some sausage.
Is it gravy sausage donut? Can't even say that. We don't even know. What have you done? That's amazing. We'll build a shrine to you. What?
So, yeah, that's happening.
Man, news sucks this week.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good thing we're covering four shows tonight.
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Power play back.
Two episodes of Garo.
Garo.
He's one made of which. Of Chrome Garo.
One of which fits into our. Well, he's not made of Chrome anymore. Now he's all computer generated.
Yeah, it's all.
They didn't have a budget for costumes, Garo.
That's why they never f***ing appear, Garo.
It is the musical episode.
Well, and one of the Garo episodes fits into that theme too.
Yep. Totally
yeah,
does.
Oh God, it does.
Okay, and so let's just go ahead and start singing in it. Start Garoing.
Start Garoing. That sounds dirty.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. It's on superhero time.
And you know, any given episode of Garo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oops.
But
Ken, you want to go over last week's?
Okay, let me remember where it started. it's been like over a week since I saw it. Like a week and a half.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Totally glad I can't get for that. Cause I was like, oh man. What happened in the last episode? I do kind of remember this one.
Well, and I made the mistake too last night of watching episode 7.
Ooh.
The Raw?
I didn't think that was subbed yet.
The Nomux version went up.
Yeah.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, Nomux is usually out.
And that's usually
you're like all fucked up then.
And that's usually what I watch. It's just that 6 didn't have a Nomux.
Right. I think it just kind of came out a little early, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't bother.
I don't know. No, I think it came out after Akiba Ranger, which would technically make it late.
No, Akiba Ranger came out first, didn't it? Or it came out last.
Came out last.
Isn't it usually last?
Akiba Ranger just went up yesterday.
Yeah, Akiba Ranger takes a while.
Yeah. Especially this one.
I can imagine.
Really falling behind on Kyoryuger, though.
What?
I think I'm caught up.
Okay, so. We start with N.O. having some freaky dreams and waking up with more ectoplasm all over her mouth. I'm guessing that's the best thing to describe it as.
That sound of her, like, the slurpy, like...
Yeah.
What was she in before this show?
Well.
What was in her before the show? Before
the show?
The director? But yeah, she's having freaky dreams about Ryuga fighting a horror, Asian demon Scott McNeil, stuff being tossed around.
Make sure you watch that pronunciation. Horror.
Horror.
Funnier.
Your mom is more horror than her.
And in general, is just feeling kind of weird. Then back at the bar that night, she gets hit on by Rianne. I mean, they hang out.
You know what you mean.
They're just
we know what they mean.
Friends.
Yeah. Really? Really?
That's how it is in Japan, as my friend that lives in Japan told me.
Sure.
I think Ramirez said it best. Oh, my.
That sounds more like George Takei, actually.
Yeah.
Ramirez when he said that?
I don't remember. Was that before I stopped watching?
It was like episode 6.
Oh, I vaguely remember. I tried to block out most of what Ramirez did and said.
No, she should really be enjoying her womanhood more.
Yeah.
Enjoying whose womanhood?
Cop Lady and Western Gale.
So who should be enjoying who? Or does it matter?
Are you saying they should enjoy each other's womanhood?
Just in general.
They should each enjoy their womanhood.
Oh.
Enjoy it to the fullest extent. Most engorged extent.
The most swollen.
Meanwhile, the Makai Knights are...
those creepy things.
No, we're still talking about this episode of Garo. There is no less creepy.
No.
And they find Asian demon Scott McNeil. Them, and he tries to jump into a radio. But not before Ryuga tosses a tracking device into him.
Throws a bottle of meth at him.
And it makes him all glowy and allows him to track him all.
See? I told you it was meth.
It's pure blue.
They can see it through solid objects, which really makes it like, okay, this is another video game tactic.
I know. But then SG-1 shows up and Takeru's like, hey, remember last episode?
Remember when you were an asshole?
Pushed me in front of a moving car.
He just blows him a kiss and takes off.
Well, I have my powers back, so I'm writing you in front of them.
Meanwhile, at the bar, with the barkeep passed out.
Because that happens.
Just all over the floor. And Ho's kind of creepy stalkerish boyfriend shows up. It's like, what the f*** are you doing with this girl? Like, well...
Inquiring really... fanfic writers want to know.
Well, oh, we sure can totally will... tell you.
Sure there will be fanfic, yes.
What do you mean, will be?
Or yeah. Is this not already? You sound like somebody that would know, putting it like that.
And why are these girls eating the cherries out of their liquor drinks? They soak up all that alcohol.
They're saving their cherries for later.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's symbolism.
Yes. So anyway, meanwhile, then back at Inho's place, her kind of stalkerish boyfriend. Okay.
Well, isn't that the same dude from...
And she's so into it. She's looking at the clock and counting the seconds. And
she really is, though. She is. But then Ryuga takes SG-1 on a merry chase all through the city while the other two are chasing the horror. Horror.
See, now we really need to be clear. It's important.
Horror. And Inho gets a message about what's going down. So they chase.
The horror.
No, they go to the chase. Ryuga, because remember, everybody still thinks he's a murderer.
Right. You know,
stabbing the bride thing and throwing her out a window.
And being the protagonist, which, you know, cops never like protagonists.
That too.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Ryuga ends up cornering Asian Demon Scott McNeil, and they fight. Not before SG-1 shows up, and Inho nearly gets her head taken off.
Mm-hmm.
They fight some more. Ryuga corners him down below while the stalkerish boyfriend gets hurt. And then it gets a little weird.
Don't say a little weird. You mean a little weird? You mean like Garo weird?
Well, I guess. No, it gets a little weird. Because now the fight down below goes fairly normally. Ryuga transforms into Garo, takes out the horror.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You missed something in there.
Wait.
When
with
he's
the fight?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
When he's fighting the horror tells him that he doesn't want to hurt him because he only fights humans.
Yeah, that is a little weird, but yeah.
I took that to mean as opposed to, you know, a Makai knight. Like, you know, someone who's magically empowered.
I don't know.
Who's magically delicious.
It could be taken either way, I think.
Or it's like, I don't want to deal with this guy.
He's like, I devour humans, that's all.
Well, okay. I'm just saying.
A lazy horror.
It seemed like an oddly placed line for a horror that otherwise didn't have a lot of lines. So,
yeah, that is true. But it is notable that the Makai Knight armor is actually kind of like
basically, it's horror powered.
Yeah, it's basically like imprisoned horror inside armor pieces.
But haven't they mentioned, too, like, his armor doesn't shine like it's supposed
to?
Yeah,
it's
yes.
Not,
so there's something funky with him anyway.
Oh, yeah,
oh, they just need to polish it more often. Got some tarnish built up.
My armor as often as possible.
Yeah, meanwhile, up top, Yoshitomi, the stalkerish boyfriend, sees something very weird as Inho is taking him away. As she kind of starts to change form into something nondescript, but definitely not human. And then she...
definitely Lovecraftian.
Yeah, she...
very horrific.
Yeah, very, very. Then she yanks out his soul.
Horrific.
Yes, but then she eats her boyfriend. Not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yikes.
We're not talking about a rim job here, kids.
Yeah, that's not quite where I was expecting her character to go.
Well, I mean, it was kind of implied last episode.
Oh, but... no, I'm just talking about, like, from the beginning.
From the first episode, you wouldn't have thought that.
Way she set up, you think, oh, this is going to be, like, an ally.
Well, and it totally turns the head on this entire city, you know? I mean, it makes you question, like, the entire way that, you know, the city is structured and the the power structure within the city, and I don't know.
It's definitely some good and interesting possibilities for future elements.
Yeah,
I still say she probably ends up in bed with Ryuga.
Well, that's not impossible.
Right. That's maybe even likely.
Or he stabs her in a other way.
Or
repeatedly.
But yeah.
With his penis.
Yeah. His penis is the sword. But yeah, then their apparent alliance from last week is turned on its head as she does try to, then frame him for her boyfriend's death.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, my friend was shocked, too. He was like, he did not see that coming.
Well, I don't think you would either if your significant other suddenly turned into a demon and ate you.
Like, man, this is not how I saw my day turning out.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's apparently one of the big villains of the series. And then at the end of the episode, Rand's like, oh, you took my advice. And she's like, yeah. Like, oh.
Mm. Yeah, because she's all primped up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Garo.
That's not going to end well.
Nah.
So that was an okay episode.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was a little. It continued.
Well, you know, conclusion to a two-parter. There are always hit or miss.
As a little bit freaky.
It could lead into more okay episodes if they actually get the plot rolling.
Oh, they will. It usually just. It's a little bit slow to start up, but then stuff happens in the second half.
Yeah, that usually,
yeah, usually the plot picks up around the time Psychic Lover does the theme song.
Jam Project.
Not Jam Project.
I kind of wish it would be Psychic Lover, but Jam Project's just good.
Do we know when that will be, by the way?
Usually episode 12 or 13.
25 episodes, it'll be about, 12 or 13. I'm guessing. The way it seems paced, it seems like it is going to be a full 25-episode series.
Well, and the last two were 25-episode series, so there's no reason to think that it'll be shorter until somebody says so.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, because, like even in this sixth episode, Takara still has not transformed once.
Wait for it.
Yeah, I know. I saw it's in the preview, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're taking
time. So, episode 6 was kind of f***ing awesome, I think.
Yes. You're talking about, the rock episode.
The newest one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The rain one.
All right, Mickey, take off on that one.
Okay. Well, Takara is hanging out under the bridge. With the chili peppers.
The red hot chili peppers?
Yes. And he's fighting the only fat guy in Japan.
Who just happens to be a horror. He's a pretty nimble fat guy, though.
Well, not at first, but when powered by the magic of rock, he comes alive and starts kicking ass.
Garo!
And you know, it's kind of funny, like, For the first season, some of his actors kind of like put together their own group called Garo Project that just like covered the show's own songs. That's what this episode kept making me think of.
So, while a fat guy fueled by the power of rock kicks Takara's ass and leaps away, meanwhile, across the river, Garo himself...
Ryuga,
yeah. Wait, is he here yet?
No, I don't think so yet.
No, he's not here yet. That's right. Yes, okay. It's the traveling rock star bard is talking to Japanese Elvis Costello.
Best summary ever.
And it turns out that he has acquired a scale from a horror that died in, what, episode 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's so using it as a bitching guitar pick.
I didn't remember that far back.
Yeah, he's got the pick of destiny. And he's shredding metal like it ain't no back.
God, I almost choked on something. Thank you.
So, back at the base, they kind of figure out, hey, it's the rock and roll guy doing this shit.
The carriage is like everybody's bitch in this episode.
Yeah.
This episode?
Well, he kind of got Ryuga back in the last one, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't deny he's basically just low man on the pole in general.
He is!
Unfortunate euphemism?
No.
Not with him.
Well, they decided the best way to figure out what's going on is to, let's go check this guy perform at the club, because we got his flyer here, and it says it's going to be beer.
What other reason do you need?
So
Gar walks in, and he figures, well, I'm going to test this guy out here, and he tries to light a cigarette with his green lighter, and then he's like, oh, you're not a horror. F*** you, your cigarette's not getting lit.
You know what I like about that? It's like that is like the first time that they've actually used the implication of using a lighter for what it's actually supposed to be for, because you're like, in the first two series, Koga just like shoves somebody up against a wall and put it in their face, and it's like, oh, okay, he actually tried to use subterfuge and trickery.
Okay, so that's another carryover thing from the franchise. I didn't know that.
It would be funny if that thing can't light things on fire. It's only good for...
Yeah, it doesn't actually have, like, a real
flame. It's not hot.
Yeah.
But, like, the only other thing he ever did with it is, like, he can light a sword on fire and maybe, like...
Yeah,
it.
In the first series, the other Garo used his lighter to light his sword on fire while he was wearing his armor.
Yeah, but it,
which,
it's never...
I mean, that's pretty badass.
It's never actually put anything that's not demonic on fire. So maybe it can't light anything.
Maybe if it was a demonic cigarette.
Aren't all cigarettes demonic?
Possibly.
I mean, they wouldn't be nearly as cool if they weren't.
And they do smell pretty bad.
Yeah. Huh? Hell probably does smell like an ashtray.
It probably does.
Well, if we're basing this on how bad it smells, then a pipe has to be a lot more demonic than a cigarette. Because, you know, a pipe is about the worst thing I've smelled.
That's just because it keeps getting reused over and over.
Oh.
Okay, well.
I would think.
Down at the CBGBs of Japan, Traveling Bard is up on the stage with his band, Sex Babama, whatever the hell they're called.
Sure, why not?
And Team Garo is infiltrating the club, and Glasses ain't sticking out at all. He's just totally not a narc. So, Rockstar Guy, which I can't remember. Shin, that's his name.
Yeah.
Yes, like the Kamen Rider.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Worst correlation ever.
So, as he begins to strum out some hard licks, we see Fat Guy start appear in the crowd to start jam out and get super powered by the rocking
dance. Well, the crowd
dance.
Starts beating the shit out of each other.
Well, there's like two or three other horrors in the crowd too, and it's realized, oh shit, this is about to get real ugly real fast.
So it's a horror rave?
Well,
yes.
No, not on purpose, I don't think, but it's just, I think what it's showing is there are so many horrors spread throughout the city that you can't really have a gathering anywhere without a few being there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a dense population of demonic creatures from hell.
Yeah, so at this point I'm expecting, like, you know, the DJ to like throw up the lights and bloodbath.
Yeah, it's off. You're expecting, like, you know, the...
And then Wesley Snipes walks in and starts cutting off people's heads.
That would be so f***ing rad.
I'm thinking, like, Dust Till Dawn, you know?
It turns out, like, Blade is Ultimate Mekai Knight.
Garo is basically Japanese Blade.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has the little facey opening things from Blade 2.
Oh, God. That's actually new to this series, though, where, like, the horrors, their heads open up with the mouths. Like, usually there wasn't, like, anything, like, uniformly identifying about them, but every horror...
Had exposed tits, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Even but the like, dudes.
but like that's something I've noticed in this series, is like they have like a uniformity toward them that horrors didn't have in the previous two shows.
Well, didn't that magic horror, wasn't he different, though?
Yeah, the magic horrors are different, but even the normal ones in this series seem to do that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like the normal horrors look like that, but the magic horrors seem
they're definitely different.
I mean, so that's where I would say, too, that, like, the chick or whatever is, you know, like a magic horror because she's not like the others. So.
Yeah.
Well, Ryoga realizes what's going on, and he karate flips on the stage, grabs a guitar, and starts showing up Shin.
You know, whoever's doing his singing for him is actually a pretty good sound.
I kind of wonder if it's the same guy.
If it was, they were still lip syncing him because.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Well,
but,
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise
me. I mean, this isn't Les Mis, you know.
So, you know, the crowd is terrified at first. Oh, God, there's someone on stage stealing a guitar. Being like, hey, this guy's fucking rocks.
Which really pisses off his manager, who had, like, invited some person to, like, hear him play. And then he just
Here's the most amazing thing about this talent scout. It's she doesn't see things go wrong and completely write the guy off. It's like, okay, well, we can see you hit someone on stage. I'm not going to judge him by that. Give me your demo tape, and I'll judge him by the quality of his work.
Yeah. That's completely
it's like, oh,
that's
God.
Clearly a lie.
Clearly she gets a horror.
Right.
I'm not going to ask which pronunciation was right
cinema,
there.
Cinema. So, backstage, Shannon is unhappy with Garo, understandably, and proceeds to say, I bet my life on becoming successful.
I'm like, well, that's a dumb idea.
Especially in this city.
So, Ryoga does his long shot bit, and he listens to the guitar by putting his ear on it. His tactile telepathy, whatever the f*** it's called.
Sure.
And apparently it's something with his mom dying, or I don't know. It's
unclear.
Yeah, it's unclear, but apparently
it's not really important because Ryuga still tells him, you know what, you just suck.
Yeah. Like, is there anything useful here? No? Okay.
Yeah, so even if he knows the sob story, he's like, you know, I like your song, but you know what? I don't buy it coming from you.
Give me your damn bitching guitar pick.
Yeah, that's why he walks away with the pick of destiny.
He takes it just like he's like, give me that, bitch. Okay.
Like, Shin crumpled up on the floor, a broken
like,
man.
Did you see how I flipped onto that stage? Are you gonna stop me?
Yeah. Oh, don't cry. Don't cry.
So that's the end of the story. Drop off the scale back off the boss and we're done. And wait, what's that?
Still
I gotta get the back to him.
He's like, this episode isn't long enough. You should give him the pick back.
Well, it's actually a good plan if highly dangerous, but then again, Mekhi Knights have done this before.
I figured out from this episode that the Mekhi Knights are f***ing crazy.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to use him as bait.
We want to draw out all the horrors and attack them once.
Like, it's okay, they're just revisiting a...
I like how they discover this plan because Western Chick's like, well, it's great we stopped this because this song got played all over the city. Then like it actually all the horrors in the city.
And they're like, hmm.
Wait a sec.
That's not a bad idea.
That's a great idea. We'll activate all the horrors in the city, bring them to one place, and then three of us against 80 of them, and it'll be great.
Well, 3.5 because Leanne was there too.
Yeah.
Oh, you count Takara as more than one?
Okay, maybe more like 3.33 then.
Oh, Jesus.
He's the only one that's gotten laid in this series. Yeah.
But no, this is kind of like an amped up version of the entire running plot of the first season.
Uh-huh, basically.
Let's use someone as horror bait.
And we're just going to condense it all into 5 minutes.
So, meanwhile in the studio, Shin is recording his 87th take of Bright Hope, and Phil Spector in the booth ain't feeling it. She says, "All right, kid, you get one more shot, then you're f***ing through.
You're wasting
tables
time
at Burger King.
Somewhere there is an empty shelf at Buy for Less."
But then suddenly, as if by providence, Western Chick with the guns walks through wearing the most amazing miniskirt I've ever seen. It's like she gutted a cheetah and is like wearing it as a skirt.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
She's like, oh, hi, here's your guitar pick. Have fun. Bye.
It's like a costume change just for like one scene, too.
Yeah.
And no one complained.
Not at all.
Of course not. They saw the skirt.
So outdoors, the crew is set up and they're waiting for the horrors to come because they know he's going to fucking rock. And he does. And they come.
I hope.
You know, every time that song played in this episode, all I could think back to was Kiva with the overuse of Destiny's Play.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I like how when it started up, though, when they were waiting for the horrors to come in, Caro was just, like, tapping his foot and dancing along to it.
It's catchy.
I also like the superimposing of the sound levels over the battle.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty well-coordinated battle, but it goes on a while. And through the whole thing, I'm just thinking, guys, three out of four of you have magic f***ing armor. I know it's a series, but f***ing use it.
There is one thing that the series hasn't touched upon it, but the armor does have a time limit.
Yeah, that too.
What is the time limit?
99 seconds. 99.9 seconds. Actually, it starts at 666 and then flips up.
Unless they're in a Makai realm, in which case the time limit's usually lifted.
Yeah, but if they're in the human world, see, if they go over a minute and a half or so, they'll turn into rampaging demons.
Oh. Has that happened?
Yes, yeah, actually, it has.
Sure, that will happen in this one, the way things are lining up.
Huh.
But that's why that's why they'll fight them until there's like an opening, and then if they can kill them without transforming, they will.
And see, that's a great concept, but I didn't know anything about it because so far the Makai Knights are the least interesting people in the series.
I don't know about that. I like Riga and Takeru Aguri could.
So this is like an Ultraman thing, then.
A little bit, except not as contrived.
Oh, yeah, not as contrived. Do you want to explain that one for the folks at home?
Well, they're using demonically powered armor. So it makes sense. You're using demon-powered armor, so if they wear the armor too long, they could start getting overtaken by it.
But it's not something that's been relevant in this series yet, so it makes sense that it hasn't really.
Because they haven't actually talked about the armor in this series yet?
Because in this series they've used the armor for a total of 21 seconds.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's not really been relevant to the plot yet, so it makes sense that it hasn't really come up. But because
speaking of the plot, the team's starting to get their ass kicked because Ryoka said, "You know what? We're not shutting the music off till the song's over."
Yeah, it's like there's like a minute where you know he's gonna say something, and then they cut back later, and it's like, "By the way, guys, I think it'd be really great if we waited to hear the whole song just in case we could actually die a horrific death." At the hands of hundreds of horrors.
Because I want to hear if he puts any emotion to it this time.
And they're like,
"You faggot, we're killing him now."
So logically, the other Makai Knights are like, "No fucking way, we're turning it off as soon as we can, and we're going to kill the horrors." But no, they honor his request.
Well, they seem to take out the weaker ones fine enough. It's just the big fat one.
Right.
Yeah. Then we get 6 seconds of Garo, and he gets split in twain.
And, no and his legs me. Keep walking around.
He still seems happy, though.
yeah, the music's still playing.
So, battle's won, song's over. Ryoga enters the recording studio and finds Shin and says, "Your song still sucks."
That was the best part after all that. He's still like...
No, the best part is what comes immediately after that.
When he cuts the computer in half?
Yes.
You suck so bad that no one should ever hear this again.
You sing with that emotion, and I'm going to destroy your future.
Oh, can you imagine like Ryuga dealing with the singing guy from Double?
Ooh. Totally different approach.
That would be like a 5-minute episode.
It would have been done. You suck.
Then he just comes in, "Your music is bad and you should feel bad."
Punch him in the face.
You have done awful things to music.
So, that's episode 6. And I think it's probably my favorite episode so far.
It was pretty good, I thought.
It's a very solid story from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's basically just, you know, a one and done. But it's pretty good.
Well, one and done is usually Garo's best work.
It is. And next episode, Takeru actually transforms. Holy shit.
Yay.
Just make it funny. If he transformed like the opening scene of the show and says transformed the whole show. we never see the actor again.
He's getting stuck in the armor. It's like, "Sorry, Junya Ikeda."
That would be awkward for the sex scenes.
Wouldn't it?
<That'd be> awesome.
I'm sure they'd find a way to polish his armor.
Big armored CGI cock with fangs coming out of it.
Totally.
That seems about right for Garo, actually.
Think Into the Woods. No? No one's seen that musical? Okay.
No.
No.
I'm not that gay.
Well.
That says it all right there.
I don't think anybody has a response to that.
There's nothing I could say to that, really.
I mean, I'll suck a cock, but I won't watch a musical.
Oh.
Well, this is not the greatest summary in the world. This is just a tribute.
Right.
That was a pretty good summary.
That was good.
I love the pick of Destiny, though. A demon guitar pick that gives you superhuman guitar playing powers.
Yeah. Even then, you're not that great.
It's like any other show, like the hero would have been, okay, that was pretty good. But no, Riga's like, no, fuck you.
And you still have no heart.
You're faking it. You're using auto-tune. Stop it.
Demon auto-tune.
Ooh.
Is there any other kind?
Auto-tune from hell.
Okay, I'll grant you. Grant you that one. All right, so it's time for a Kiba Ranger. Paladin?
You.
All right, JD, I guess it's up to you.
Is it? Okay. All right, so I only have one episode.
Yeah. So that should only keep us here about 35 minutes.
No, I won't go that long.
The 26-minute show.
So at the beginning of this episode, our general cosplayer General Payne, thank you.
Mel.
Is in line at some food shop, I guess. Is that what this is, I think? And he was always like, man, these lines are always so long. And then, like, this...
It's hard to get in to see the soup Nazi.
No soup for you.
So then this like mascot comes out handing out these flyers for whatever the hell. I don't even know what it was. And he starts like bitching her out, like
cosplaying is serious business.
Like, what are you doing? Like, this is horrible. This is like a box with paint on it. It is. It's literally just a square box with paint on it for head. And he's like, there's no heart in this at all. And like starts to like try to take the head off. And we go into the title sequence. And then we come back and he's beat to shit. And he's like, well, how was I supposed to know that she was a martial artist? So that inspires his next creation, which is a, well.
Well, you skipped over the part with the Kagi.
Yes.
Oh, was there a whole thing in there?
Yeah, he's gotten a replica of
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That did come before that. So anyway, so meanwhile, back at the base, he managed to get someone to cobble together a replica of his IO blade or whatever the whatever all that.
Owie.
Mm-hmm. And the best part is he's like standing there showing it off, really happy. Meanwhile, his index finger is wrapped pretty much around, well, right on the breast.
And Hakase's like, that's...
Can you hold that less pervertedly?
The best thing is, as he's stroking the boob, his eyes are rolled up in his head, and he's grinning and rolling his head back and forth.
The girl's just like,
And they're all kind of like creeped out a little bit.
And also, notable the discussion of Nakagawa Choko, which is Shoko Nakagawa playing a parody of herself.
So she's an actual idol.
No, she actually is Shoko?
I think that is Shoko Nakagawa.
No, it isn't actually Shoko. I don't think it's actually Shoko.
Are you sure?
I need a little bit more context here. This is an idol?
She's like a real host of Pokemon Sunday and is also tried out for like to be Fink and Sentai like four times or something, and once waited in line for over a week to get in the front row for a Time Ranger live show.
She appeared in Deca Ranger and Five Man also when she was a kid.
Wow.
Okay.
But and I was looking this up, and I think that actually is her because that does look exactly like her.
Anyway, so let's say it is because that's fun. Anyway, so yeah, so she's on screen and they, I don't know, make reference to her, I guess. I didn't pay much attention to that part. Anyway, so they're gonna take Blue.
Luna wants to invite her to be a Kiba Pink.
Yes, that was the whole. Yeah, so the
like,
aren't
you supposed to get extra members?
Like, the new Blue is decided.
Like, everybody watching is like, yes, they are.
Yes, and he's like, well, that has happened over the last like 20 years or so, I guess. You know, so half of the series.
He's kind of right.
She's like, yeah, she's going to be our new Pink. And they're like, oh, well, that's great. That's never going to happen. That's so great. And he's like, all right, well, anyway, we're wasting time. We got to go show you cool Sentai stuff. So they run off. And then, yes, yeah, so then we go back to General Payne, who's been beaten all to hell because apparently whoever was in that mascot costume actually knew some martial arts and beat the hell out of him. But it inspires his latest creation, which is a an anime robot thing, which turns out to be a dimension beast as well. So yeah. So then the kids come back out of the anime place, and he makes some reference to what was he saying? What were they talking about when they came out? They were talking about
O-Ranger's direct hit with flatulence.
Yeah, and they were talking about.
They
I think
bravely
they,
let one rip.
I think they mentioned the narrator at that point.
Yeah, Tanaka.
Tanaka. Yeah. And yeah, he was saying, yeah, but you hear Tanaka say it.
Nakanobuo, yes.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, there's some kids that are like lined up outside, and this, you know, look, mascot looking chick is handing out this stuff, and the kids kind of mock her and go, oh, we don't want this. And she's like, well, if you don't take it, then I'm going to turn you into what you don't like. And so she turns them into a carrot, a pepper, and a math book. Like, oh, math! Oh, I hate peppers! No carrots! So they immediately figure out that she's, you know, part of the LOL army.
To be fair, math does taste pretty terrible.
It is. Yeah. It's not hard to swallow. Or is hard? I don't know. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, yes, they enter the delusion dimension. And things go horribly wrong.
Yeah, as they are wont to do in the Keeper Ranger.
Because, well, Brett just can't fight her.
No, his penis is getting in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
I wouldn't think it was big enough to interfere that much.
Best part is...
Well, that costume is pretty tight, I'm sure.
Yeah. When they first enter the world, the chick's like, oh, hey, have some tea.
Shoves the girls out of the way.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, yeah. So it goes badly. And from here, it gets foggy for me. Anyway, they kick her out. They get their asses kicked. And
yeah, it's like she hugs him and then leaves a bomb gift wrapped to his
chest. That was so awesome. Yeah. He's like, well, it's okay. Eventually, she'll turn really ugly. And because that was left out. General Payne is awesome. He's like, I know they always get beaten when they put their ugly face on, so I'll just leave that out. It's like, that's kind of brilliant. This guy's actually really good. They should have more Sentai fans make. That's what they need to do in the next, like, Sentai series.
Like,
it's
really a sinister face that justifies the hero's decision to destroy it. But with that, it's removed.
So at one point, yeah, she hugs him and leaves the bomb, which was totally like a Warner Brothers kind of moment.
It was some Chuck Jones shit.
It was, totally was. I laughed. And he blows up.
So. And then you laugh some more.
Saved.
Yeah. So anyway, we kind of find out that basically he has a weakness to shiny robots that goes back to like live man.
They're also saved at random by Choco.
The what?
The idol.
Oh yeah.
Which is
a fake Sailor Moon outfit.
Yeah, that's what ends up happening too.
The first weird moment, but then she gets turned into a pepper.
Yeah.
Oh, okra.
Okra, I'm sorry, my bad.
God, yes.
Yes, take it from me, an okra is nothing like a pepper.
No, that was totally an okra.
Okra always falls to earth at a constant velocity.
And there's a nice joke in there, too, because I think she said she's going to go stick her head in the sand, which I think is how you grow okra, isn't it? Doesn't it grow in, like... It, like,
and
grows...
Brown?
Like,
yes.
And then the real world, she's been replaced by a freaker.
Yes, which was the best part. So, of course, once again, the delusion world has infected the real world, and she's, yeah, turned into a whatever those are, freaker, yeah.
And General Payne's very sad.
Yeah, and that's the best part. That's a great part, too, where General Payne is like, what the F? No!
And let's kind of point out now that, oh, he hasn't known that this shit's been happening like
Yeah,
that.
He hasn't. This is the first time he's realized that anything going on in the delusion world has affected the real world. And that's probably not a good thing.
It's an important thing, though, because we're approaching some kind of semblance of an actual plot for the series now.
Yeah. We're finally getting to where, you know, we're going to...
Looks like
we're
getting that next week a bit.
Yeah.
Well, which is about the same time that season one hit its plot, then hit another plot, then hit another plot.
Things really went to hell, in a good way.
I also love that Malsheen in this episode is taking another goddamn bath.
God, she bathes all...
She is the cleanest woman in all of Japan.
Totally. And with beer. Don't interrupt me. I'm having my bath.
I love her so much.
Oh, God. So anyway, yeah. So they try to train Red, and like they put what's her name in like a gold.
Oh yeah.
Like a helmet thing on.
So you get a flashback to Nobuo when he was young and.
Yeah, you get that whole
and flight. Getting turned on by the robot characters with the dude stunt actors inside.
I mean, he even says it to the way where it's like he lost his childhood in terms of like probably it for the first time to the robot chicks.
Okay, yeah, Shoko Tan was not played by Shoko Tan.
Oh, was it not?
Oh,
it's not her.
I am so glad that we figured that out. Thank you.
Well, it's not like Fort Mac had anything else to do right now.
I know, not like listen or participate.
It was a brief, but that's who is really inspired by it, clearly.
Clearly. That's thanks, Fort Mac. Appreciate that, buddy. Don't mind saving that till like the end.
I also love that baby Akagi is playing with actual toys from the show.
Yeah.
And that he's wearing a white scarf.
I like it that they get like the exact date and time of the episode.
Totally, yep. Which is I'm sure is the absolute correct
date. Yep.
With this show, probably.
Yeah,
I'm sure Fort Max can look into that and let us know in a few minutes.
Oh, good, because I was at the end of this. So,
halfway through Wild Force, we'll have the answer.
Okay, so the actual air date was. Thanks. Yeah. So anyway, he does manage to like punch her in the face or kick her in the head. I don't know what he ended up doing.
But they gave him a kendo stick and
that's right. He hits her in the head with it, doesn't he? Because on her helmet. And like, what the hell? And he's like,
well it's
like,
still your face. It's
still your face.
And all the other girls have to hold her back from.
And you can tell he even feels bad about saying it too. He's like, it's still her face.
it's like one of those things where it's like it's not what he meant, but it came out so poorly.
Yeah.
And she's wearing a Sailor Moon toy on her.
Yes, she is. I noticed that too.
From Pretty Card Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's amazing. So, but that does give them an idea. So they go back in. So the girls go back into the delusion world, and they call Red and say, oh my god, you have to go. And so they kind of trick him into going. So he shows up in the car and
tries to look away,
tries to like face away from her, which doesn't work. And but then the girls take a paper bag with a monster face drawn on it. By monster face, I mean like literally like a Sharpie with just an eye and like a garble mouth.
Think about how dangerous it could be if kids imitated the stack.
Yeah, and then like put like, you know, bungee cord around it.
Around her neck.
Yes. So.
Like, good boys and girls should not be watching this.
No. That worked like half a second until
they haven't said that at all this season.
Oh, I know, but I would just.
And that works for half a second until she like burns it off.
With her cuteness.
Yeah, that word was used a lot this episode. Anyway. Finally, the coup de grace, the announcer, the man, shows up And
his voice does.
Yeah, his voice does anyway.
Because Hakase's pocketbook has come through again.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So he starts like narrating the episode.
Over the Change Man music.
Yes.
The awesome Change Man music.
So.
And then they borrow Kilby's podcasting setup to stream it into the Delusion world.
What's funny is that's not really a joke.
No. So, so they managed to, but so this fires up Red and he goes super mode and kicks ass. Yeah.
It's like he has the gun in one hand and the sword in the other. He's like, I wonder.
Well, you hear the sign. What's funny is you hear like the power up sound.
Uh huh.
Hear the power up sound, and I immediately knew it's like, oh god, I have watched this too much. This is the point at which I knew I have now watched way too much Sentai. Because as soon as I heard that, I went, holy shit, they combine.
And so did Akagi.
And so did Akagi, because he totally knew the same thing. And well, and so they did. Sword goes in the gun. You get
finisher,
super
glop moe prominence.
Oh, and of which I love that the monster lasted like a whole 2 minutes after it had been like shot.
And she's just like, but how? And then he grabs his face and peels off the visor.
Which had somehow been transmitted through the voiceover and had allowed him to do. I don't know. It didn't make sense, but it's awesome nonetheless.
Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah. And then and then she blows up. But yeah, General Pain then though is now hip to this whole changing the delusion world changes the real world.
Andy notes that, this looks like something I made for a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. So anyway, he pulls out a clay monster thing at the end, and
that looks suspiciously like a Hurricaneer.
No, it looks suspiciously like a Go-Riger.
Well,
a what?
Wow,
a yellow Go-Riger.
Wow, that was nerdy.
Thank you, General Pain.
God Almighty.
Go what?
That's our first act.
The Go-Rigers.
He is our General Pain. Good lord.
What's a Go-Riger?
The secondary King Hurricaneer.
The Evil Rangers were Go-Rigers.
The Thunder Rangers from Ninja Storm.
I'd never watched Ninja Storm.
Okay. Hurricaneer starts with three main Rangers, then two more are added. Those are the Go-Rigers.
They are second blue and red Rangers.
They're the ones with the shoulder pads.
Crimson and Navy.
Okay, I think I vaguely remember seeing them in something.
They're the ones that Dawn usually used.
Yeah, I think we saw them in the last Gokaiger GoBuster movie.
Yes, we did, actually.
Okay, cool. Fine.
Along with Shurikenger.
Yeah, cool.
Not to deflate y'all's balloon, but yeah, I recognize them as Go-Rigers as well. So it wasn't just Fort Max knew that.
Oh, no.
It's not about knowing that. It's about being pedantic enough to specify the difference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are from Hurricaneer, and when... Yeah.
Well, hey, the Gokai thing does separate
them. I realize this. I know. I'm aware.
Well, it also gives what's name his own sound too.
Shurikenger.
Yeah.
Yes. So like Hurricanger gets like the most f-ing sounds out of it because of its setup.
Hmm.
But yeah, was a dark red and a dark blue Go-Riger, but there wasn't a dark yellow.
Right.
Which is seemingly the wrong he's wanting to correct.
All right. So there you go.
What would the dark yellow even be called then?
Gold.
I don't necessarily automatically associate gold as being dark yellow.
Well, orange, it's not then. Like they used the colors for their names in Hurricaneer.
Yeah.
Shut up, Fort Max.
Abato Riger and...
Kuwagara Riger.
Yes, Kuwaga Riger.
Kuwaga Riger, yes.
So this'll be
whatever the blue
I think Kabuto is red and Kawago is blue, right?
Yeah, it'd be whatever.
By the Zords, yeah.
It'd be whatever the chick from B Fighter Kabuto was called.
Beat the f*** out of me. Yeah. You would know that.
Well, you had B Fighter Kabuto, B Fighter Kuwagara.
Kuwaga
and B Fighter. What? Yeah, Kuwaga.
Kuwaga.
You ever seen Digimon? Waka. Kuwagamon.
Well, it'd be another beetle.
A big bad beetle.
Gacked.
Bored. And then we get Dynaman song at the end. Yay.
Yes.
Sung by Hakusei.
And it's kind of creepy. Sad.
Yeah, it's a little...
It is very different from the real version of the ending theme.
It's also very different from like having General Pain and Akagi sing Girls in Trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I think is still the best one so far.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the End Collection album to come out in, like, July.
Yes.
Oh, it better be have the full versions of all of them.
Oh, God,
I would be surprised if it didn't, honestly.
That would be amazing.
You know, you go to the trouble of this to sell an album like that has the full songs.
I hope we'll actually...
What?
Well, another thing that's missing is the instrumental arrangement version of the Season 1 theme.
For a keyboard?
Have it?
Yeah, we know there is one, but it hasn't been released on any of the CDs, but it was used at the start of the live show video.
Hmm. Huh. Well, on a similar note, the Season 2 opening single comes out this week.
Yay, finally.
I wonder, is that going to have like the demo version on it?
I would assume so.
I so hope so.
Or they'll save it for the soundtrack. Because, you know, dicks.
Of course.
They're just trying to get more money out of me.
Yeah,
is
that's
going
it.
To work?
Oh, yes, completely.
That was very convincing.
When does your expensive video game that you ordered come out?
It comes out on the 23rd, but then... I expect it in the mail sometime between 3 to 4 weeks from that.
But you chose Sal shipping?
I don't even recall what I chose. I'm just not expecting it anytime soon.
Was the shipping cheap?
Not cheap enough.
Yeah, so that
could still be Sal then.
I ordered this thing like over a month ago, so I really don't even remember. So,
do you remember how much you paid for it?
I did not pick the cheapest, and I didn't pick the most expensive.
Oh, so it might...
Well, it's probably our cell then.
I know
it requires a signature, which would be interesting to try.
Our cell, I think. I think our cell or EMS, either one, but it's probably not EMS.
EMS would have been the most expensive one.
Yeah.
Does CD Japan have a basic airmail option?
I don't think so. I mean, theoretically, I could open my email and look, but, you know, I'm leaning towards the computer and taking hold of the mouse.
No. See, what this will be is, when it does eventually arrive, it will be the conclusion to this mystery when you reveal to us how you had it shipped to you.
Oh, okay.
You know.
So, this is actually a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's dramatic tension we're building up here.
It'll fill our listeners full of antissa.
It's a plot point that we may or may not get back to sometime in the future.
Fort Max got it. Fort Max got the joke. Y'all suck.
I got it.
I got the joke, I just ignored it.
I got it, I just didn't say anything. Because I've already been ridiculed for knowing musicals, so...
It's not a musical.
It is a musical.
It's not a musical.
Yes, it is!
No, it's not! It's on VH1. How can it be a musical on VH1?
It's a music... Honey, is Rocky Horror a musical?
Yes.
Thank you.
Nope, it's not.
It started as a cult film, and then it was turned into a musical for the stage. It was recently revived in the 2000s as well. And it's playing at a theater here in town that I went to an audition for last Saturday.
Wow.
So it started as a musical and got turned into a film.
Wow. That was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Our unofficial seventh member of the podcast, Amanda.
She does have a master's. Everywhere. She does have a master's.
I thought that was Ben.
Six.
I haven't heard him cussing lately, so.
Yeah, he's been a little bit quiet. What's up?
He's at work.
No. Oh.
He works second shift a lot now.
That'll do it.
Okay, well, I guess at this point we'll take a break and come back to the wonderful, wonderful power playback we have for this week.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm surprised you didn't make me do that.
It didn't work out that way.
Well, it's because Paladin doesn't watch Akiba Ranger, so it's kind of hard to make him do the summary of that.
Hmm. Gotcha.
I think I screwed everything up by taking Garar, didn't I?
No, I was kind of half and half on having you do that anyway, because I figured JD wouldn't understand it enough.
Thanks.
Oh my god.
Wow. So you left him with Akiba, which is much easier to understand.
Totally. Hey, I got it.
Thanks.
Come on.
I believe you.
I did pretty good with Akiba.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, what's difficult to understand with this episode of Akiba Ranger? Akagi gets a boner at robot characters that are dudes inside the suits. And it screws up everything for everyone. And he calls Hagase ugly.
I just wish somebody had pointed it out to him at some point in the episode.
I was kind of waiting for that. I was waiting for that to be the resolution of the episode, where they explain to him, okay, all those characters you were talking about before, those were guys in those suits.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he deflates and...
Or he becomes super erect.
Oh my.
Maybe that's why they didn't go that direction with that. Anyway, we'll be right back.
To Sakagi, he probably already knew.
This is true.
Okay. Well, no.
He probably knew exactly who was in the suit in what episode.
No, see, what I'm thinking is he's purposely not learned that because of...
He's blocking
what those... Yeah.
It's like he knows what will happen if he learns that knowledge.
He's remaining purposefully ignorant of that because he knows sometimes they do use male stunt actors in female roles, so he's just purposely not learning who played those parts.
I could see that too.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster.
Control the gloves and control the battle.
Join forces with the Power Rangers with Power Rangers Battle Zone.
I think it's time for some animal power.
You're in the battle and you're in control. You punch, you kick, and your fighter reacts.
Nice shot.
Power Rangers Battle Zone. Be in control. Be a ranger. Be the winner. Power Rangers Battle Zone includes everything you see. Batteries not included.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at Superhero_Time.
F*** you, JD.
That's a good way to start.
It's really the only way to start this week's Power Playback.
It really is.
Oh, I am so glad.
It just had to one-up you.
And now we're going to continue it in style. Paladin, you're doing the summary.
How did I f***ing guess?
Well, process of elimination.
Yeah.
Also, because...
do it.
Well, I have a good excuse for not doing it. I don't have Netflix.
Oh, he didn't watch it, that's why.
Because I don't have Netflix. I don't have access to the episode. That's also why I didn't object
sure
to doing this one.
I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere if you actually gave a shit.
Paladin. Seriously, Paladin. When have you ever known me to give a shit?
When you get a chance to shit on others.
Okay.
Touche.
Touche.
Fair enough.
You win.
Very
you
good,
win
sir.
This round.
But you're still doing the f***ing summary.
I know.
F***ing summary? Well, you stick it in, and you take it out, and you repeat, and then it's over.
Mickey, Paladin's supposed to be doing that.
Oh.
Okay, absolute final test has been achieved. You can start.
I'm waiting for it to load again. All right, so Master Org sitting around in the Nexus looking at his photo again. There's that flashback in case you haven't figured out exactly what role he plays in the series 22 f***ing episodes in.
He's the main bad guy?
Yeah.
He's a
given the way Wild Force is written, I wouldn't blame people if they hadn't actually figured that out yet. Meanwhile, Jindrax and Toxica bring back his tombstone.
Bravo! robbing. Yay!
But he's not dead, so does that count as grave robbing?
Well, is that more like just going to your safety deposit box to pick up your valuables?
Well, well, you know, people have people have
the tombstone.
People
he's
have
legally
graves.
Dead, so
and people have
yes.
graves when there's no body to bury.
It's also called a legal gray area and move on.
It's a symbolic thing more than, you know, actually disposing of a corpse.
Mm-hmm. Right. So instead he creates a corpse by infusing spirits into the tombstone to create Tombstone Org.
Spirit wow. Tomb. I choose you.
Because that's something you do.
No, no one chooses Spirit
Well, that
tomb.
Is kind of how the villains in this series work. They bring inanimate objects to life in monstrous forms.
But
like
but
every other Sentai.
But this monster isn't a tombstone monster. It's a tiki monster. You know what? Never mind.
It's a Japanese tombstone monster.
Because the Japanese are buried under tiki.
Quiet.
Where do you think Tiki Island is?
No question.
Tiki Tiki from back in Lost Galaxy?
Oh, this is so great.
Adaptions.
It's both made of stone.
Anyway, back up on the Animarium, Shayla's singing again, and the pool of water explodes in a desperate attempt to get her to shut the fuck up.
I thought there was like a seal or something that lived in the pond and just farted or something.
The pool explodes. The pool explodes itself in a desperate attempt to end its own suffering.
Oh, God, why?
But it failed. So the Rangers go out to fight the tombstone guy and shoot it in the face and kill it immediately. Okay, that was a fast episode. What's next week?
Great. I'm like, awesome. The pain's over.
Wait, how do they shoot it in the face? They don't have guns.
Cole does.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He's a Red Ranger. Of course he has a gun.
He's got a Gatling gun, too. He must be awesome.
Yeah, sure.
And they get another big gun later on that looks like a piece of shit.
But using projectile weapons is dishonorable.
Well, the Jungle Blaster was American original, wasn't it?
That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah, the Jungle Blaster, yes. I was thinking of the Lion Blaster again for some reason. Never mind.
No, but yeah, you said they got a gun again later. And that...
Yeah, that is American footage.
It was allegedly sent to them by Tommy, according to the script.
Yeah, I've heard that before, too.
Doesn't make any more sense now.
What? It makes just as much sense as Forever Red does.
Exactly.
Well, no. The thing about that doesn't make any sense is that it was supposed to be delivered to them in the mail, which they would receive on the Animarium, except how does anybody know where the Animarium is to deliver mail to it?
Hey, the post office is really good.
No, they're not. They're the post office.
No. This is the post office. We're not talking UPS here.
Neither rain nor sleet nor giant f***ing turtle island in the sky.
That's not Sal.
Well, at least
thanks,
with
Ted. We'll see you tomorrow.
At least with the UPS, it would make sense because, you know, either way, they would just chuck the package up to them.
They just have a cannon.
T-shirt.
No, they put it
to send them their mail.
Totally.
They drive by the cannon, say they attempted delivery and left a note, but no, they just didn't even bother getting out of the truck.
Even knock.
They shoot the note out of the cannon just for insult.
Doof.
Episode?
So Toxica feeds the Tombstone Orb the musical fruit so it grows giant size.
Beans?
Toot. Beans.
And they form the Predator Mode Megazord for some reason. Because all the Zords are interchangeable in this series. It's one of its few good points.
It was
kinda
fun with that Lion Tamer Org episode.
Kind of like the current series.
But, you know,
there's
fun.
More than just arms in Wild Force.
Well, yeah, Wild Force does have one other pair of legs.
And two other torsos.
They needed a third set of legs so they could use all the Zords at once.
Well, there is that motorized set of legs from the American line.
That sounds amazing.
The one they painted purple? That could kind of work.
That doesn't sound terrible at all.
So what point does Bam Margera start playing the flute?
After the Tombstone Orb rips off the giraffe arm. Then the Deer Zord shows up for some reason.
Because Sentai footage.
Saw's book. I choose you.
Well, somebody had their headlights turned on and it just stopped there.
That's where the Deer Zord crossing is.
Why did they put that sign out there? You can't read.
I'm remembering that story now. move to Deer Crossing, please.
Classics.
totally.
So Shayla tells those rangers that she and Merrick used to sing to the deer every day, and they probably ran away to get away from that sort of shit.
That's why all the Deer Zords are dead. It's just the one deaf Deer Zord.
I like Merrick's past armor helmet, where it's like he's in American Gladiators.
That's actually based on the Sentai, too.
Oh,
bliss.
That's sad.
So when
pretty much the only thing that wasn't based on the Sentai is the stuff that was based on the other Sentai.
Because, yeah, that's how Wild Force worked. And when I say worked, I use that word very loosely.
Worked.
It certainly did feature footage of people in front of a camera.
And when you say people, you use that word very loosely.
Your mom's very loosely.
And used.
So, Tombstone Org comes back to life again, even stronger than before.
Go, Zio.
Did you miss a beat?
Is it powered up for more?
Oh, that was amazing.
Rangers at the core.
Even up the score.
Gotta go to the store.
Knock on our door.
Go power.
Your mom's a big fat whore.
Oh, I'm imagining that to the Zio theme. That's right.
And suddenly Zio is 10 times better.
Knock on our door. Go, Zio.
So what Zio was missing all along was John Ritter.
Totally true. And Suzanne Summers.
No, nothing's missing Suzanne Summers.
It's hard to miss her these days. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Wild Force, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
Tombstone Org's back, so this time they bust out the Kongazord to try to fight him.
Like, the other Zords have to rest. We have to pull out the crappy ones.
If all else fails, throw bananas at it.
Go, banana!
Yes.
Natalie, this is not Go Busters, so there's no banana missiles.
That's unfortunate.
No, there is banana bombs that the Gorilla Zord threw.
With trees that he can grow with laser vision.
That ranger was weird.
Extra weird. And then that's when Shayla and Merrick finally track down the Deer Zord, and then there's singing.
Oh, God.
Dear f***ing God, the singing.
Oh, my God. Why? Damn you, JD. Damn you!
I don't really understand, Shayla.
Of the world.
What is there to understand?
The terrible superimposing.
Complete.
Is she supposed to be like an ancient Mother Nature character? Like, but why is she like 18?
Well, because
she's immortal, of course.
Because an eternal virgin youth thing.
She's been asleep for 3,000 years.
It's time to conquer Earth?
Well, that was a lot of beady rest.
Let's sing it.
I like how early on in Wild Force, like, talked to him like a kindergarten teacher. She did!
I like how during her singer, she gets blue screened in front of footage from, you know, Blue Earth or whatever the Discovery Channel is airing now.
It was probably something that was public domain.
And just to be totally fair in comparison, a friend of mine was good enough to track down the song counterpart used in Gowranger.
Oh, God. Is it any better?
It was in Gowranger.
So, yes?
Your mileage may vary, but I'm sticking with kind of the same. But anyway, for some insane reason, that deer convinces it. That song convinces the deer to help the Rangers instead of horribly stepping on Shayla and ending the series early.
I told you, he's actually deaf. He just sees the dancing. He doesn't hear the music.
So he forms the new arm with Clutcher Mode and kills the Tombstone Org with bubbles.
Clutcher Mode.
Tiny bubbles.
And now to keep the deer happy, they have to sing that same song every morning.
Oh, but God. The good news is we don't have to listen to it every morning.
They yes. should play that. That should be the new intro song.
This deer is kind of a bitch.
But we do have to hear it again about three episodes later when it becomes a plot point.
Of all the things to adapt from Gowranger.
Well, oh, what wait. Didn't they
adapted
adapt?
Everything from Gowranger, that's right. I forgot.
America's really just
except
the
for the toy of the yellow
dude. Fence.
But hey, speaking of dicks, there's Animus.
But he's not back for good for a few other episodes yet.
Oh, thank God.
And then he dies.
Woohoo! Again.
So he's Zordon?
No, because people don't miss him.
No. They kind of dance on his grave. I would.
He was kind of an asshole.
Kind of.
He was what, 9?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he'd been dead for a few thousand years, so kind of hard to age.
I don't know. Operate Killer aged after his death in Sentai.
Well, hell just really takes it out on your skin.
Okay.
Conquering hell, apparently.
Oh, God. That's still the best thing.
So, yeah, that was Wild Force.
Why?
Dicks.
JD.
Not my fault.
This was great. This was good for you all.
Yeah.
This was good. This was cleansing.
I've seen things I've hated worse.
On this show, certainly.
I gotta admit, while the song from Shayla is an eldritch abomination and ear sodomy, I don't hate Wild Force's actual theme.
Even the part where this is Wild Force asses?
What's wrong with that?
They will save the world.
You said it was a good size.
So, why are the Wild Force beasts kept in Super Balls?
Because Pokemon?
That's just what Gowrangers did.
Because I seriously want to bounce them.
Well, and I love that they make the whole thing that, like, the dude is the one that has to play for the Deer Zord. And then they actually get it, and they're like, okay, girl that didn't have anything to do with this episode, you get the Deer Zord. Like, what?
Well, you know, Merrick already has 3 Zords all to himself.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's just kind of, like, random. Like, not even thought out. Like, at all. It's just like, that's the way it was in Gal, so this is what we're doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's why when they announced, oh, they got Jonathan Zacher back for Samurai. But there's like no Judd Lynn or anything like that to balance it out. It's like, this is going to be a bad Shinkenger adaptation, isn't it? And gay, guess what it was?
A really bad Shinkenger adaptation.
Yep.
Well, part of that was the cast, though.
It's all-inclusive.
It's potpourri.
Yeah.
Making television is a group project. They all failed.
Power Rangers Samurai is like a giant Katamari of fail.
I should play that game again.
Yeah. It has fun music. So, speaking of music, Fort Max, don't you have something special for us this
week? Yes.
Oh,
now,
God.
Everybody be quiet. I want a clean recording.
Okay, mute.
The vicious planet, let's start our age from zero. Legend is something gotta be repainted. Let go the accelerator, now is the time. Kuga, revive yourself with burning blood. Kuga, energy made of pride. Kuga, to be strong and powerful. No fear, no pain, as far as standing before love. No fear, no pain, no dreaded thing ever does exist. leave them far behind. Gonna get over the top, metamorphing the Masked Rider Hugo. Dreadful history, let's just rewind it to zero. There was someone to be holy and good. Jumping over that cliff, now is the time. Kuga, the silent majority's Kuga voices calling you. Kuga, it is proving you are strong. No fear, no pain, the two destroy and ones protect. No fear, no pain, must find true answer right in there. Run up to the peak, gonna change all of the world. Metamorphing the Masked Rider Kuga. Revive yourself with burning blood, Kuga, energy made of pride, Kuga, to be strong and powerful. No fear, no pain, as far as standing before love. No fear, no pain, no dreaded thing ever does exist. Leave them far behind, gonna get over the top, metamorphing the Masked Rider Kuga.
Yeah.
Excellent. Except you did it kind of wrong. It's supposed to be Masked Rider Kuga. Because that's funnier. And what the song actually says. It's Metamorphin Masked Rider Kuga. You know.
Take two?
No.
Try it again.
But yeah, we'll the lyrics in this thing are even more Englishy than the Time Ranger ones.
Wow.
Like, I'm hero someone to be the only and good.
Yes. I agree.
It's more Englishy, but it's also easier to understand the original than with Time Ranger. Because seriously, with Time Ranger, the first time I knew what any of that song was saying was when you sang it.
Wow.
I know, right?
I didn't know what I couldn't tell. I had
you
to
didn't
know
even know what you
when
were singing.
When I looked up the lyrics, I was like, oh, this is what it's saying.
We should have Fort Mac learn a song in Japanese and sing it.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I think we should all learn a song in Japanese and sing it.
No.
Yes.
No.
We should all take a verse
in Catastrophe.
We should all take a verse from the Go Wander ending theme. For the parts they're saying, we all sing in unison.
Oh, God.
I think I'd fall apart during the rappier bit of it. The faster part.
Look, if a Japanese person can rap, how can you not?
Well,
it's not a debate of that. It's a debate of, you know, getting all the right combinations.
Because it doesn't get much whiter than Asian.
It's more the that it's even harder to rap when you don't know the words.
It's a different language.
Yeah.
You can learn the words. It's just a matter of being able to make those combinations of sounds.
Yeah, because then we'd really have to have someone that speaks
now.
We'd have to have someone that speaks and understands Japanese to like critique us.
well, thank. Consider how much trouble some people have saying Kyoryuger.
Who would that be?
Just imagine the disaster that will create.
There's only like 113 sounds of the Japanese language, and
yeah, we just gotta take a Japanese class, and we'll be good.
Yeah, totally.
English, oh man, we're great with it.
I got Rosetta Stone, man. I can rock it out.
I speak good.
My mom said that actually when she was here visiting last. She was like, you ought to try to learn Japanese, you know, since you watch all these shows. I'm like, yeah, right, Mom, sure. That's going to happen.
Sadly, I've learned more Japanese from watching Sentai and just picking it up. I actually took a course in Japanese.
Seriously, man, I tried to take Spanish in college. I couldn't tell you. I probably could say more in Japanese than I can in Spanish.
It's just
now.
Stuff you absorb over time.
Totally.
I've had 1 year of Japanese, 2 years of Spanish, and 3 of German.
Damn. Why German?
Because, why not?
You're going to understand German metal.
And guess how much any of those were required for my mortuary science degree?
None. None.
Yeah,
you don't have to speak a lot of German to put
although
people
I really like that the field of study is mortuary science.
Oh, it's totally a science, man.
Yeah.
Here's where you plug in the tube.
And here's color of blush to use in this complexion.
It's just a combination of two words you don't really think about together.
It's, well, you know, it's like...
For science.
It's like chemistry meets cosmetology.
Does that sound accurate? Yeah.
Meets religion.
Meets religion.
Meets sculpting.
Meets sculpting.
Wow. Right?
Meets frustration and unbridled rage.
Look in the bright side. At least your customers aren't chatty.
It's like, yeah, totally. It's like five questions.
Oh, the customers totally are.
How good are you with putty?
The customers never shut up.
Well, yes.
It's the product that's quiet.
Is that actually how it's referred to in-house?
The product.
Is there a technical term for that?
No, there's not. Because having a technical term for it would make it technical instead of emotional and personal.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, right, exactly, yes. It's very eye-rolling.
You know what it is? It's a corpse. I don't know what to tell you.
They're not customers, they're families.
Right.
Not clients.
That's kind of like how we work in retail. You're told that all your customers are actually guests. Yeah, and you're like, no, fuck you. I know what they really are.
Right. And they know what they are. And so let's not
around
with
they are a lot like guests in that you want them out of your residence as quickly as possible.
Yeah, if they were guests, I could kick them out. You know what? Just get the fuck out.
I think the only time customers are actually guests is if you're running a hotel.
Yeah, I know. I like go to the movie theater and I go to the concession stand and they ask for the next guest. I look around and I'm like, oh, you mean me?
I'm not staying here, bro. I'm just watching a movie.
The person you want to charge $15 for a popcorn and a drink.
Yeah.
Now, see, I never had that problem. I never have that problem because anytime I go to the movie theater, nobody else is there.
I should be able to sleep here.
Should be getting a blowjob for that much.
Depends on the theater you're at.
It really does.
There's a few bad ones out there.
A few good ones? That's a good one. That's how I would define a good theater. If I could get a movie and a blowjob, that's awesome.
I guess it depends on where you're getting it from.
Hey, look, if you don't look at it, and you'll never be able to tell. And mouths and assholes feel the same, no matter what.
Well, one has more teeth, usually.
I'm going to say, they feel the same as each other?
No. Everybody has a mouth. Everybody has an asshole.
And they both
stick together. You get the centipede.
You get the human centipede.
Oh, Kyle, we're
back here.
Full circle, baby.
It all connects.
Oh. Alpha and anus.
Oh, I don't think the human centipede was supposed to form a circle, was it?
Or a Morris.
Yeah, that would be really difficult.
Make like the human Mobius.
One mouth feels like another, and one asshole feels like another. See, it's just, if you don't look down, you won't know. You can pretend it's whatever you want.
But what if you get somebody who hasn't shaved?
Well, that's why you don't shave your own bits. You wouldn't be able to tell, see?
Are we talking about mouths or anuses?
Does it matter?
Well, that depends as well.
I mean, does it really matter?
No.
Not really.
I don't think anything matters anymore.
Freshly shaven is fine, but when you get the day-old stubble coming in, that hurts. No one likes that. It's a commitment to shave something.
Yeah, if you start
you
shaving...
You gotta keep up with it.
Yeah, you have to keep going. You can't just... You can't just let it go. It'll chafe otherwise. Everybody.
It'll chafe you and others.
And others. So it's just not, that's just not polite.
You might as well just let it keep growing until you can tie it off into a ponytail.
Totally.
Or braid it.
I was... This reminds... Okay, this is awesome. She is going to so love that I'm sharing this story. So, my friend... So my friend Melissa was talking, and she's kind of a hippie type, so she doesn't like shave her armpits or anything. And she was talking about like her OkCupid profile, like whether or not she should put on there that she doesn't shave her armpits. And so she was telling me that there was actually like a question on there, and so she very clearly answered it that she doesn't. And I just popped off with so can I braid your armpit hair? And she kind of laughed. I was like, well, actually, that's both like a question of function and permission. So I'm both asking, like, is it long enough where I could braid it? And if so, can I braid it?
May I braid it?
Right. Correct. May I braid it? And she said no to both. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
What about just a simple ponytail, though?
Yeah, I know. That's what I was just thinking. Just like a little quick braid, but apparently not. So. No, she said no.
That reminds me, I need to get a haircut.
just shave it all off, dude. It's summertime.
Just a little off the tops and underneath the arms.
Right. Totally. But don't shave your asshole, because then you just have to keep shaving it.
Well, that's what I was talking about with the ponytail thing a few minutes ago.
Right.
And just don't even speak of ingrown hairs on the taint.
No. Oh, man. Oh, so bad.
So it forms a huge lump first. And you
it's so sad. Mm-hmm. Totally.
I don't think there's anywhere to go from there.
I kind of hope not.
Oh, I needed this.
Well, aside from offline.
What?
We lost Mickey.
No. Really?
Yeah.
He must have fell out of the chair.
Totally. Trying to describe how to squeeze the pus out of your taint.
That's some bullshit. I was describing some great shit there.
I know. I was thinking, it's like, man, I'm sure that he is just going on about how awesome it is to squeeze like pus out of your taint.
Well, I ain't repeating it because that's a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Just like squeezing.
I won't talk about it either.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what's Power Playback for next week?
Oh, good idea. Let's decide.
I don't think JD gets to pick this time.
Aw.
Nor does XV, because his last choice sucked.
Well, on purpose.
Oh, you guys hate all my
Ken,
choices, so who does that leave?
Recently? Ken.
I'm trying to remember what it was. I'm thinking.
Don't hurt yourself. Okay.
I'm trying to think of something we haven't done recently.
There isn't. Hey, Fort Max, while Ken's thinking, any idea when Cocker Ranger is going to get more subbed?
Maybe later this week.
What
about Bioman?
Bioman.
probably in a couple weeks after we finish up Mask Man.
What is Bioman up to?
20.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to finish up Mask Man first before we get back on that, then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we could grab a random episode of Bioman after the new Yellow's introduced.
There hasn't been anything really stand out so far.
Oh.
I've been paying attention for stand-ups. I still need to watch 19 and 20, so I'll maybe listen there, but it's just been standard Bioman goodness, but nothing really super exceptional.
Well, I wasn't expecting to have a repeat of Yellow 4.
The interesting thing after Yellow 4 gets replaced, it's like there's an absurd number of focus episodes on Yellow after it.
Well,
like, every other episode is a Yellow Focus episode.
They need to reestablish the character.
They need to really f***ing establish this character, apparently.
Yes, and they want to make sure people lose all their memories of old Yellow 4.
Exactly. Exactly just like.
Sort of like mind wipe kind
that
of thing.
That is still like the best thing I think this show has come up with.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Old
I'm proud of that one.
That's good.
How about some Kaku Ranger?
Hmm. Do that.
Let's see. What do we have good in Kaku Ranger right now?
Any episode that's been subbed, probably.
I don't know.
We've already done a couple of them.
We only did the Christmas episode and then one of the really early ones, right?
Well, the Christmas episode only counts because Santa loves to take advantage of kids while their parents are asleep.
Did the series end up getting a retool like halfway through? Like, because it seems like, I don't know, it's become less fun as of late. It's like gotten more serious or something.
Well, according to all the production staff and the writers, the shift in tone was actually planned from the start.
Ah, okay. That's unfortunate.
I mean, it does go back to silly later on. I mean, right now with the current arc, there is no storyteller at all.
Yeah.
But later on, he gets a two-parter that's about him.
Oh,
okay.
The storyteller? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to save the Kaku Ranger Power playback slot for those episodes.
Yes. Okay.
So let's see. What else is...
However, we also have a two-parter. Now, currently they're on the focus... the character focus episodes where they get the ninja zords, and well, so far we've already had Red and Whites each have their own episode.
Is Whites out? I hadn't seen Whites yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next
These are the episodes that Power Rangers ripped off for Zeo Quest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now the next episode is Blue and Yellows. They don't get their own episode, but Jiraiya gets the last two to himself, so
because
which is the best possible outcome.
Yeah, really.
Everybody loves Jiraiya.
Everybody loves Jiraiya. Yes, totally. So that works out really well, actually. I'm very happy with that. I love how he's like, everybody go your separate ways, and then like Blue and Yellow go together. Like, okay, well, apparently they didn't listen.
Well, they kind of don't.
No. They don't.
Well, none of them do.
I mean, if I'm remembering right, Blue's the hanger-on to Sasuke, and Yellow is the dick that tried to sell everybody's clothes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that would be correct. So.
So Blue has to hang on to Yellow, who's going to be a dick and not listen to the instructions.
Right, and they'll probably stop for food.
Sorry,
that was pleasant.
Nice.
Okay, so episode choice.
So no Power Ranger then.
What about this? The Hurricaneer thing. No?
Isn't there like three episodes of that subbed?
Sweet, whatever.
I think we already
did one of them.
That's what I mean about not much of Hurricaneer is subbed. I'm thinking maybe Shinkenger or maybe one of the first, one of the standalones from the first two episodes of Garo?
I haven't seen any of Shinkenger, so.
Shinkenger sounds palatable.
That's something we could tentatively enjoy.
Tentatively enjoy. Well, I know it is something that the people on the show don't hate, so there is that.
Well, I haven't really seen Shinkenger either, so.
Ah.
It has to be something after Gold is introduced, though.
Well, clearly.
Because all the episodes before that are boring.
I don't agree, but we'll go on with that.
Well, okay. There is one exception, which is, you know, Shinken Brown.
Oh, God. The incredibly racist episode.
Okay, so next week we're gonna watch episode 14 of Shinken, You're the Foreign Samurai.
Oh, my Jesus Christ.
Okay. I can't wait.
Yeah, Shinken Brown is kind of, yeah.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
My favorite episode, but yeah, that I think that would work with our concept.
This episode's about as racist as that guy is fat.
Yeah, so pretty much, yeah. Poor Ryunosuke.
So tune in next week for us all to pretend like we're offended.
No, not offended.
I think JD is the one who should be the most offended by this.
Really?
Because, you know, he is a fat white man.
Hmm.
Well, how many of us here aren't fat?
Well, Fort Max isn't. Ken, I'm pretty sure, isn't.
Nah.
You're not that fat, and that just leaves me in Paladin. And I'm not that fat.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm fat.
You're no fatter than I am, and I don't consider myself very fat.
Whatever. I wouldn't take my shirt off in public.
Neither would I.
I think that counts.
Thank you.
That doesn't qualify you.
That totally qualifies.
Okay, here's the deal. When you qualify when you get to the point that you're so fat you don't even care if you take your shirt off in public.
Okay, so what, JD, so what you're trying to say is that all those people who are, like, hugely fat and should not take their shirts off have reached this point where they've just stopped caring.
Exactly.
It's not a matter of them being fat. Oblivious.
You're so fat that you can't find a shirt that doesn't fit you skin tight anyway, so you might as well just take your shirt off. Because every definition of fat roll that you have is clinging to your tiny shirt.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it is a kind of conscious choice, not a matter of, like, obliviousness.
Correct. It's like you've gotten to the point where it's like, f*** it. Yeah.
So it's a bell curve. Like, your embarrassment reaches a crescendo, and then it slowly slopes down.
Totally.
And they're also shaped like a bell curve.
That's something I've been sincerely confused on for a long time.
Damn, pal.
You know.
You get to a point where there's just no way to hide your fat f***edness.
Is that the medical term for it?
Yes.
It is now.
It is the official Warner Brothers term.
It's actually Latin.
Yes. Fetishness.
I will keep this in mind.
It's from the mother language.
Oh, boy.
Oh, why am I out of alcohol?
Because
I know,
you're on superhero time.
Because
you need it now more than ever. Yeah, so on the note of JD's fat f***ness, that will be our show for this week.
Oh, goodness.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
You are the king, you are the king!
No f***ing fireworks?
Maybe?
That sounds dangerous.
Either that or someone decided... I mean, what else would it be? Bombs? Like, who would bomb Michigan?
Well, I think they've kind of done most of the damage to themselves already, haven't they?
Don't people normally bomb things of value?
Like, yeah, what would be the point?
Put more money into the bomb.
We were gonna bomb Michigan, and then
this crater looks too nice. Let's blow it up.
We thought about bombing Michigan, but it was like, oh, it's already torn up. Never mind.
It's a neighborhood improvement project.
We're gonna bomb it into improvements.
Much like this show.
By exploding it, you actually make it more organized.
We're going to turn this place into Chernobyl. This can be great.
That'd be so much better.
Damn.
Then people will move back.
Clearly.
still won't have jobs, but they'll move back.
Jobs, but they'll live there.
In a box, maybe, but they'll live.
For
a while.
Oh, my face hurts. Oh, I'm so sorry, Paladin.
Oh, you're a lot nicer than I am to this state.
Wow. <Yeah. laughs>
Don't worry, RoboCop will be there to save you.
It's kind of sad, though, because, like...
likely. Did you see the previews for that new f***ing RoboCop remake?
I have not, actually.
Getting that statue.
The new suit looks like dog shit.
Aren't you getting, like, a statue, though? Like a RoboCop statue?
They keep saying no to that for some stupid reason.
Well,
actually,
it would be in Detroit, wouldn't it? That thing probably just get destroyed right away.
So they melt it down.
Spray paint all over within a day.
The first day it would have spray paint on it, and the next day it would get melted down. Probably because the mayor would like drag it. Like, I'm gonna get $50 for this.
Besides, if they're gonna do a statue of anything, it needs to be of the Ed 209, because everybody knows that was the real hero of RoboCop.
Oh.
They should make up the CEO of OCP. Like a giant 30-foot tall granite statue of him standing pointing. Delta City.
God.
Obey.
Plus also, if the RoboCop statue was going anywhere, wouldn't it be in the parts of Dallas that look like the parts of Chicago that look like Detroit?
That was so convoluted it made sense.
The parts of Dallas.
Have you ever listened to the commentary track in RoboCop?
No.
Apparently filming it was like the most miserable experience ever. It was like 130 degrees in Texas when they filmed it.
Wow. I wouldn't doubt it.
And like the guy in the suit almost died.
Die.
He came close to dying actually several times from dehydration.
God.
Isn't that the most miserable shoot ever?
In Japan, you know, if they would have been a Japanese film, then just think about how many actors they would have gone through. Stay in the suit.
Dead or alive, you're filming with me.
I watched.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, he just falls over. Ted, we need another one. Bring him over.
You're gonna need another Timmy.
Do it.
Oh.
I was too busy choking this.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. Oh, the chest hurts. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Best show closing ever.
スーパーヒーロータイム次回もシャバドビー
止めてみろ。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.